Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors. Thomas, today's topic is how to balance ministry and family, and we're going to delve into the deep, deep subject of when a person should say no.
My person should always say yes. You. So I'll let you take care of most of this.
I'm going to nominate you for the people pleaser president next year, buddy.
I never say no to the church. I never say yes to my wife.
Dude, I just heard it thunder.
But I say, man, I tell you, it is a challenge being in ministry, isn't it? And all of the things you juggle along the way. And there, as you said it just a moment ago in our personal conversation before we hit record, there is a ton of things for a person to be doing in ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's always something to do in ministry. And what I tell my students, like in pastoral ministry and things like that, the church always gets its time. So we have to guard our time because the church will always get its time. It's not that you don't put in enough hours.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if a person's serving the ministry well, they're putting in way more hours and energy than what would be normally expected of a regular work kind of career.
Absolutely. We do not work 8 to 5. Or let me say this. We work 8 to 5. We do not only work 8 to 5. There's so many more things that are going on. A minister can really never clock out. There's always a text message that probably needs to be answered or a phone call that I need to take this phone call. Yeah. There's always something going on. And dude, really, we could be busy 24 hours a day, you know, the way things line up. And a lot of that business do you serve a country church? Do you serve a city church? Do you serve a smaller church? Do you serve a larger church? As the pastor of First Baptist Church, a few weeks ago, I attended an art exhibit.
Whoa.
Why? Yeah, oh, fancy, fancy. Why? Because I'm a pastor of First Baptist Church, and I went there to talk to people and to meet people. Yesterday, I was at a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a hospital just to see people, to talk to people, and my wife is an employee of that hospital, wanted me there, and so it's stuff
and
like that.
Wanted to see that employee.
Right. I definitely wanted to see that employee. So, yeah, so all the time there are things that you could be doing, but the double edge of that sword is you can't do something all of the time.
How many art exhibits did you go to when you were pastoring Little Creek?
Oh, you know, Little Creek Baptist Church is in Marietta, Mississippi. Marietta, Mississippi is in the outskirts of Boonville, Mississippi, which is in the greater area of Prentiss County. And I can remember that I went to exactly 0.
Not too many art exhibits out there in farmland, right?
That's right. That's right.
But in Senatobia, where there's a college, right? A community college.
That is correct.
Art exhibits.
There are art exhibits. There's all the time. Eye doctor opening, a grand opening for that. I attended that just a few weeks ago. So yeah.
So there's always something in ministry. And we really get to choose our own schedules, don't we?
Yeah.
I do personally. And most ministers do, in a sense, get to choose their own schedule. And typically my schedule, like a normal work day for me, is usually come into the office, spend the afternoon out into the community doing some other things like that. And then, you know, my evenings at home. Sometimes that can change based on the day or what needs to happen. But it's kind of that old idea from Criswell, right? W.A. Criswell, give your mornings to God, your afternoons to the church, and your evenings to your family. And so in a sense, I still try to do that. I try to, in the mornings, I try to spend, you know, time in Bible study, sermon prep, some other things. We'll do administrative things in the morning as well for the church. But then in the afternoon, what I try to do is to go visit a hospital, go visit a nursing home, go visit someone in their house. And then I try to give that time. So I kind of think of it as time blocks, not necessarily what I'll be doing every hour, but this time block, I need to be at home. This time block, I need to be in the church doing administrative things. This time block, I need to be out with some people doing like relationship building type ministry. Do you order your days in any kind of way like that?
somewhat, not exactly a structure.
You're way more regimented than me, aren't you?
I am more regimented than you, but you may do a little better in your regimen of the three-part day than what I do. So what I do is I try to be in the office between 8 and 8:30. Sometimes I'm in as early as 7, but I try to be in by 8. And we do what we call an informal staff meeting on Monday mornings. We sit up at the receptionist desk, basically all of our staff members, and we talk about the previous day. We're talking about who was in attendance, who was not in attendance, how the music went, how the service went, how the baptism went, how the children's time went. We talk about every aspect of the service, and we usually talk about that for an hour or an hour and a half. Now, sure, we'll be interrupted with church people coming through for the reasons that church people come through the church office, but we do that on Monday mornings. And then Monday evenings, I try to get my outlines complete. I want to have my outlines to the person who gets our screen stuff ready, the person who gets our messengers, or it would be our bulletin ready. And then Tuesday morning, we have our official staff meeting. By Tuesday morning, we've tied up all loose ends from the previous Sunday. And then we look forward to the upcoming Sunday, but I don't do the Sunday morning. I mean, I don't do the weekday morning doing church stuff or personal time with the Lord. I read my Bible each morning. I text at least one person a Bible verse each morning. And then we go into work, and then it's more work until 4-ish. Most of the time, we'll have a staff member in office from 8:30 to 5. I'm usually there 8-ish to 4-ish. That may be 4:15, maybe 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock. And then whenever I leave, then just go home, spend the evenings with April. So I don't do as much personal visiting or visiting the hospitals. Some of our other staff members do much more of that than I do. I just, at this phase of the ministry, I don't. But of the afternoons, I'm getting sermons ready Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, start looking at Wednesday Bible study. Wednesday morning, I tie that up, and then we'll spend most all Wednesday prepping for Sunday. I want my sermon, Sunday morning sermon, to be done on Wednesday evening because I'm preaching it Thursday morning at an assisted living facility.
All right. So you brought up something that I kind of want to talk about. And that is, you said most days we have someone in the office from 8:30 to 4:30 or 5 or something like that. So what is the day that you take off? We take off Fridays here. And usually the whole church staff is off on Fridays. I like that because it gives me Friday and Saturday. It feels like 2 days back to back feels better to me than one day here and one day another place. You know, I can feel more rested after that, get more done in those 2 days. But at Gaston, they always had somebody in the office Monday through Friday. One staff member would take off Monday, another staff member would take off Tuesday, another staff member would take off Wednesday. They always had to have it kind of regimented out like that. So what does it look like at Senatobian? What day do you take off?
Yeah, so the church work week is Sunday through Thursday. If there is anyone at a church that says, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe they view Sunday as a work day," that person has just told me they've never served on a church staff because Sunday is a work day. So our work week is Sunday through Thursday. We do have a part-time receptionist who works Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. So she is there 8:30 to 12 on Fridays. Other than that, the only time a staff member is there on Friday is if it is a special event, of course, a funeral. A lot of times our executive pastor, who is also over senior adults, will have a senior adult Friday something. The youth, the children's minister may have something like that. But yeah, dude, we look at Sunday through Thursdays as our work day. I completely agree. Friday and Saturday off is better than having Saturday and Monday or Saturday and Tuesday because you have some continuity of rest. If you're a deer hunter, you get to hunt Friday morning, Friday evening, Saturday morning, and you can chase those deer more consistently. Absolutely.
So if you take, let's just say something comes up and there is a Friday where you do have a funeral or there is some real necessity or need for you to be at the church on your day off, do you take another day instead? Or do you just lose that day?
I do not. I just lose that day. So, and this is a personal thing for me. April always makes fun of me and says, you care way too much about stuff that does not matter. If you have to work all day on a Friday, no one would care if you took off the following Monday. But I say, but I'd get behind. Anytime that I lose a day, like Labor Day will be, we're recording this podcast before Labor Day. When Labor Day comes up, I will be behind the eight ball the entire rest of the week. And I will possibly even take my computer home so I don't go into the office on Labor Day, but work from home because I like the structure of the way I have my week planned. And so if I have to work a Friday or a Saturday, I simply lose that day. I don't take a day off later.
I do not do that. I take my day. And the reason behind that is because there for a while I had no days off.
Yeah.
And there was a considerable amount of months, years that I really had no day off at all.
Let's remind the listener why you had no days off at all. It's because you were basically bivocational.
I was bivocational. That's right. I was working at a place Monday through Friday with office hours. And then on Saturday, I was preparing sermons and doing other things that I needed to do to prepare for Sunday. And then Sunday was driving and traveling and preaching and ministering. And then I would start it all over again. And since I've been back into full-time ministry, I have been very cautious. If I know something's coming up on a Friday, and I know it's coming up on a Friday that I need to be there, I'm going to take another time. That's the reason I think about my days as far as time blocks, doing other things. So I will steal from Peter to pay Paul when it comes to those time blocks, which helps me manage my time. It makes my day and it makes my week, almost every week is a little bit different. I don't necessarily get into that flow of pattern like you're talking about, but I try to use smaller blocks of time and really get focused in that small block of time to do whatever I need to do in that. But I think, you know, for a person who is trying to balance, you know, work and ministry together, they need to find that flow of ministry, that flow of life that really fits them. Now, one of the things when we're talking about ministry and the demands of ministry and being there for family time and to be there for your personal time is vacations. Vacations, I have been notorious about not taking vacations when I needed to take vacations. But one of the things I always tell people about David Haynes is that he takes vacations and he does that very well. Absolutely. And if he gets 2 weeks, he's going to take his 2 weeks during the year. And I need to learn how to do that. Yeah. So just kind of talk with us about that.
Yeah. So years ago, started taking vacations because I needed the mental break. You and I are different. Our personalities are different. For anyone who knows both of us, they just said an audible amen whenever I said
we are
different. So I am a people person. Not to say that you're not a people person.
Oh, I'm not. That's okay. Okay. Go ahead.
I didn't want to. I am a people person.
I am an introvert.
Which means that every time I am in front of anybody, I'm on. It is as if I have punched a clock and I have got to carry conversation. I've got to make jokes. I've got to be sarcastic. I've got to be humorous. I've got to do all these things because that is the way that God equipped me to get the most out of a church member, a friend, you know, whatever. And so that's just the way that I'm built. So whenever I do that, 50 weeks out of the year, I need 2 weeks where I can go up to the Smoky Mountains or down to Panama City and just relax and have a John Grisham novel in my hand and do nothing but read and say, April, you so pretty. Let's go eat somewhere. You know, that's it.
So out of 52 weeks, all you need is 2 weeks after talking to people every day, all day.
I need about 9 weeks. I'm given two. So at my previous church, I was given 3 weeks and I utilized every one of them. But here at First Baptist, I'm only given two. And that needs to double. Hopefully the chair chairman of deacons is listening to this. So,
see, I would need to spend like a day or two doing what you do, and then I would need a week after that. and then I would need, you know, two or more days of doing that, and then a week after that just to recuperate every time.
That's right.
Because I am an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I do not find energy in large groups or kind of carrying the conversation. I am the person who is quiet, that makes the offhand comments, that helps the extrovert.
That's right. That is right. So we are built so differently. Okay, so on the day of our recording this, I woke up at 3:30 this morning because last night we had an awesome senior singles dinner at First Baptist Church. And at 3:30 this morning, I woke up pumped because of how much fun I had and the people I got to talk to and interact with last night. I just woke up basically with a smile on my face saying, man, what a great night that was. And so I couldn't go back to sleep. I laid in bed for 2 more hours, just replaying how much fun I had last night. You don't do that, I see by the look on your face.
No, I do not. I agree to do things. And then I ask myself, why did you do that? You know that you don't like doing things like that. And so like even... I love preaching revivals. I love preaching other places and things like that. But after I agree to do that, I will think about that every day of my life until that day. And then as it gets closer and closer, I'm like, man, why did I agree to come and preach this revival? Because it just nags at me. Yeah. It is in my head because I know there's going to be personal interactions with people that I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm going to be awkward.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I'm going to stay up at night, not because I'm so pumped, because I'm reliving all of those awkward moments in my mind.
That is so funny, dude. That is hilarious. All right, Thomas, now let's get back to our topic. We have chased a ton of rabbits, but let's talk about how to say no. Or when to say no.
All right. So as we were just, we did not plan this out. We were just looking and thinking kind of through. And it just reminded me of something that is very important. And you said, well, we need to really think about where the church falls in priority.
Yes.
Right? And so the official Latin term for that is ordo amoris. It's the order of our loves. And what do we love and what do we treasure above other things? And so I think obviously number one is God.
Yes.
And I think number two, and we're going to, I'm going to separate this out, is going to be my wife. Yeah. And then it's our children.
Yeah.
And then somewhere on the list, you've got church. And you've got ministry then in there too. So for me, I'm going to say this is going to be my ordo amoris right now. It's going to be God, knowing God, loving God. It's going to be Amanda. It's going to be my children. It's going to be the church as in... as the global church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the church. But then it's going to come to number five, I'm going to put as like the work of the ministry, the work that I'm called to do in a sense. So what do you think about the ordo amoris and where are you going to put those priorities?
I completely agree with you. I believe if a minister is married and has children, the work of the church can be no higher than four. You put it at number five, and I understand we're splitting hairs, but I agree with you. It could be no higher than number four. The church can never be number one in a person's life. If it is, they need to resign right now. Right now. Go get you a job because you are not serving the Lord and you are not being the husband or wife, depending upon the gender of the minister, and you're not being the parent that God has called you to be. Dude, I completely agree with you. With the way you just ordered it, number five being the work of the church, then you could break that down. 5 through 15 could be 10 separate ministries or 10 separate works within serving the church.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the reason I separated 4 and 5 between the church and then my job. Yes. As the church, at the church, or my ministry at the church, because I wanted to separate that, you know, just because I love preaching, that should not come beyond the church.
That's right.
The love of the church, you know, but even though I do love preaching. So I think we do need to order that out. And when we do order it out, it helps us put things in its proper place so it's not displaced.
Yeah.
And it helps us to say no.
That's right.
So when should we say no when it comes to some kind of activity or ministry within the church? So say no when, and how are you going to answer the rest of that? Say no when.
I think a person should say no when it would lead to a sinful prioritization of church.
Yes.
If you ever, at the end of your day, have to repent, apologize to spouse, child, or the Lord for what you've just done at the church, dude, there's problems.
Yes.
So just say no. No, I'm sorry. I can't do this church function. I can't do this church idea, this church thing, because my relationship with the Lord, my spouse, or my child. I think that's when you say no.
Yeah. And when you said that, immediately I thought, well, yeah, we need to say no when it causes us to sin. But then your explanation of that was spot on.
Thanks, man.
Spot on. Because if we have to apologize or it causes us to sin in some relationship to God, our family, or to something else, then it is wrong. Mm-hmm. It is a sinful practice. It is wrong, and we should not be partaking of that. I think also we should say no when it's beyond our gifting.
Yeah.
When it's beyond our gifting, if we're not called to do something, or we're not, or we don't have the gifting to fulfill that part of the ministry, then we should definitely say no. And we shouldn't feel bad about it either.
No, we shouldn't. So I am not gifted in sad sob stories and making people feel good about grieving and crying and blowing snot bubbles. Dude, that's not me. There are some people who are extremely gifted in that. I'm not. And it's just something I'm not gifted in doing.
So you don't have the gifting of Jeremiah.
No, I'm not the weeping prophet.
Praise the Lord. The Lord has not given me that ministry either. I grieve people just by the way I look.
That's right.
I grieve people by the way I sound, but that's not what I'm called to do necessarily.
Right. I completely agree. So I think it's fine to say no. I think it's fine to say no to prioritize things that God has in your family. And I think it's fine to say no to prioritize your personal giftedness.
All right. Let's think about this really quickly. What about, we said it would be a sin if it, we should say no when it's a sin, but what if it's not a sin, but it would in some way hurt our family's perception of the ministry, our children in some way, are our family in some way?
Yeah, I believe you can say no to it. I really do. I think that a person can say no to that. They will not stand before the Lord. They may stand before the church for not being at whatever the issue was, but I think you'd rather be in good standing with God.
All right. So another thought right now that I've just had is, what happens when you can't say no?
Ooh.
I think when you can't say no, is one of those opportunities where you need to steal from Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
If you can't say no to that event that the church is hosting on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, then you need to take that time from somewhere else, and you need to make sure that you are resting and that you're not going to be burned out.
That's right. Burnout, overextension, all of those things will lead to a decreased longevity in ministry. You're going to hurt yourself in the long run. So I agree with you.
All right. So we've tried to, in the best way of our ability, to talk about how to balance ministry and family and when to say no. I hope you got some good suggestions from this. If you got any questions for us, then you can leave us a comment and we'll be able to see that. You can also just text us or talk to us when you see us, and and let us know what you think about the podcast or if you got any topics for us to discuss. Again, thank you all for listening to the Ministry Marks podcast.